This afternoon, I have a few fish stories to tell you, and they're all true. Some time ago, I was fishing with my son, not too far from here, and he was little, and we actually were out there, and of course, he, you know, as most little kids, they'll get a bird's nest or something, and I set my brand new pole down. And I was just so happy to have that brand new pole and set it down on the ground. Didn't bother to put it into a holder or anything because I figured, oh, I'll just have him back up and going here pretty soon. And I'm looking over here working on it, and all of a sudden I look down and whew, there goes my pole out, my brand new pole, out into the water. So I did what any sane man would do. I jumped in after it. Well, in the process, back then I used to wear eyeglasses before I had my corrective surgery, and I jumped in, and my glasses came off, and I'm like, wow. Well, I swiped around, and lo, I was able to get a hold of my pole, and I started pulling it back up. I climbed back up on the shore, and as I was pulling it back up, I looked, and the pole is a two-piece pole, and the bottom part I had in my hand, the top part was coming up. There were my glasses hooked on one of the eyes. And it came up, and I got it, put the pole back together, kept reeling. I believe it, I got the fish too. True story, okay? The second story is my dad. He lived back in Rock Island, Illinois, back in the 60s. And Rock Island, Illinois is around the Quad City area. And you can, it's right on the Illinois-Iowa border. And the Mississippi River runs through there. Well, my dad was fishing one day. And they have what they call alligator gars in that section of the river. So they have big fish. They got a snout like an alligator. And sure enough, he was fishing on the shore. Well, there were guys out in a boat, and they had an aluminum boat, and they hooked in one of these alligator gars. The guy reeled it up, got it into the boat. This thing's about 4 feet long. Well, he starts flapping around in the boat, and the guy said, man, will you get that thing under control? You're going to capsize us. So the guy had a sidearm. He pulls out his .22 pistol and shoots the fish. And then you get this stream of water coming up through the top. True story. They made it over to the shore before the boat filled up with water, but my dad said he laughed all the way home. Now, you know, the majority, now both of those are true stories, I kid you not, but the majority of our growth process comes with believing when we describe as unbelievable. You think about the parting of the Red Sea. You think about turning the water into wine that Jesus did, or Elisha making the axe head float, and on it goes. And you say, a lot of people will discount that and say, how could that happen? Defies the laws of physics. And having a keen understanding of the rewards may not be instantaneous. We know that when we get a promise from God, though, it's a fact. Now I'm going to relate to you one more story, true story, from the scriptures. Turn with me over to another hard to believe story in John chapter 21. John chapter 21. Beginning in verse 1. And after these things, Jesus showed himself to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on the wise he showed himself. So in other words, they really didn't know who he was. And there were together Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of the disciples. Verse 3, Simon Peter said unto them, I'm going fishing. They said unto him, we're in. So they all went fishing. And they went forth and entered into the ship, and immediately they caught nothing. But when morning came, now they had fished all night long. And of course, that's a different type of fishing. It's not a rod and reel, it's a net. And when the morning came, Jesus stood on shore, but the disciples did not know it was him. Then Jesus said unto them, Children, have you any meat? Or lads, hey, what do you got? First question when you go out fishing is, have you caught anything? Nah, luck's pretty bad here. You know, we know we don't believe in luck, but, you know, that's just common for the fishing when you go out to a dock or anywhere else. And in verse 6, he said unto them, cast your net on the right side of the ship, and you shall find. And therefore they cast, and now when they were not able to draw in the multitude of fishes. Verse 7, therefore the disciple whom Jesus loved said unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Peter heard it, that it was the Lord, he put on his coat, for he was naked, and he cast himself into the sea. You know, when you think about this story, and the apostles, they were going back to what they knew best. You got to, up until this point, this story, what they had been through for the past few weeks was pretty unbelievable. This is as even though Jesus had told them that he wasn't coming in glory at this time, at their time, they really didn't comprehend that. And knowing not what else to do, they went back to what they knew, what they had been doing 3.5 years earlier, and that was fishing. Turn with me over to Matthew chapter 4, verse 18. We'll come back to John, so keep your marker over in John 21. But over in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 18. And here we see the beginnings of where they were. In Matthew 4:18 it says, and Jesus walked by the Sea of Galilee and saw two brethren, Simon and Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And straightway they left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, they saw two other brethren, James and John, sons of Zebedee, and their father mending their nets. And he called to them, and immediately they left their nets. Brethren, they were going back to what they knew best. They kind of got sidetracked. They kind of lost sight of what they were there for. Now, let's go back over to John chapter 21, because I said keep your finger there if you can. And we'll pick it up where we left off in verse 8. It says, and the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land. Now, Peter had already thrown himself into the water and swam back, and the rest of them were coming with the fish. And as soon as they had come to land, they saw the fire and the coals and the fish laid thereon. And Jesus said unto them, bring the fish which you have caught. And Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land, and it was full of great fishes, 153 fish. Now that's a fish story, okay? And there were so many, but the net was not broken. And Jesus said unto them, come and dine. And none of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? For they knew it was the Lord. And Jesus was coming, and he took bread and gave it to them and fish. Now this was the third time that Jesus Christ had showed himself to the disciples after he had died. As I mentioned, they were back doing what they knew. They were fishing. And what could cause us to lose sight, brethren? What if we were not able to meet in the cool confines of this temple? What if you were under the threat of death to be a Sabbath keeper? What if somebody went through your Facebook page and saw all you Sabbath keepers and said, let's go get those people? Well, if Mr. Elliott wasn't here, or the ministry, what would you do? We know that from the sermonette that was given a couple weeks ago that is commanded to assemble on God's Sabbath day. So are we going to do it? Or will we become disillusioned and say, forget it? When God says, when he commands us to assemble on the Sabbath day, how does that resonate in your ears? Right now we have a choice, but for those who desire to be amongst us in like minds, it is an honor to be here, brethren. An honor to have you here. An honor to be able to communicate with you. When you're not here, it takes away from the whole. Getting back to my fish story. The title of today's message is, This is Not Just Another Fish Story. We live in a society where Satan has so permeated the thought process that understanding true blessings and how we must look to God in faith and never lose sight of his promise. Point number one, blessings come as a result of faith. Turn with me over to John chapter 6. When we read this passage, they obviously recognize that the blessings that they caught the fish back in John 21. However, it was up until that point that they were going back to what they thought was their only option. And you have to ask yourself, what's going to be your breaking point? What's going to send you back to what you know best? In John chapter 6. And verse 60, many therefore of his disciples, when they heard this, now this is speaking of a time when Jesus Christ had mentioned to them that you had to eat his flesh and drink his blood. And they could only think of the physical aspect of it. And they were like, what? Huh? Let's read on here. Verse 61, when Jesus knew in himself that the disciples murmured, he said unto them, does this offend you? What, and if you see the Son of Man ascend up before you, was before you? It is the Spirit that quickens, the flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life. Verse 64, but therefore are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew that from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray him. And he said, therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Then Jesus said unto the 12, will you go away? Brother, I ask you this today. Will you go away if you're offended? But you see what their response was. It said, then Simon Peter said unto them, Lord, where are we going to go? We're so far into this. What do you have to look back for? It said, you have the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Christ, when he got out on that shore, they saw the fish. They knew it was him. And he turned them back around, brought them back to say, hey, look, guys, you're still fishers of men. It's not time to go back out and catch these stinky fish. It's time to continue the work. When we read John chapter 4 and verse 35, you don't have to turn there. It says, say you not, when in 4 months, when comes the harvest? When comes the harvest? Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are already white to the harvest. This work's not over, brethren. This work is not over. And God is, as in the example of Gideon, he's bringing it down to for you to understand, it's not by might or by power, but by my Spirit. We're here. We have a job to do. One of Satan's most useful tools is lethargy, a lack of fire, of being a part of God's work. I was watching the world's women's soccer championships this past week, and it amazes me how the reserves, when they get that chance to get in, they can't contain themselves because they're so excited to get in and be a part of that action. Let me at them. Let me at them. How about you? Is that how you feel about God's work? Brethren, this is a powerful work. And it won't stop until it's over, until he says it's over. That's a promise from God that we know is true. When we see the blessing of the 153 fish, do we think about the physical reward or the spiritual understanding that Jesus Christ had laid out for them to understand? My next bullet point is understanding blessings. When we think of blessings in the Bible, we see the deliverance of Israel, the abundance that Job was given after he went through his trials. But all the while, we can recognize that God is spirit, and physical blessings are good. But a greater understanding of God, who he is, what he's doing, is the greatest gift of all. That plan of salvation is a wonderful thing. So many of today's religions are focused in on what you can get. But when we go through trials and our focus is firmly on him, then you come to that understanding that, Lord, this is where I need to be. It may be painful for a while, but we know that when we're focused on him in our darkest times, that's when we're closest to God. Having spiritual understanding, turn with me over to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, and we'll pick it up in verse 9. In Colossians 1 and verse 9, it says, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." God is spirit. We must worship him in spirit and in truth. And the depths of his wisdom are greater than we can imagine. What man discovers right now has been in existence for billions of years. And to think that there is such a philosophy of creation without a creator. Huh? Man, that's just kind of scratch your head. How did this all happen? The very idea that this could be a creation, this world could come about without a creator, is ludicrous. Yet, Satan, he has blanketed this earth back and forth with his darkness to keep people blinded. Yet God is patient with us to show us his greater gifts. And that vision of the world tomorrow, that vision of the future out there, we have the opportunity to know that we'll get rid of these physical bodies. And out there, we have an opportunity to love God the right way without any inhibitions. And we can love one another without any inhibitions. The world will be filled with his knowledge. As it says in Isaiah verse 11, chapter 11, verse 9. You don't have to turn there, but you can write it down. It says, "They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." Something to get excited about. We will understand the mind's functions and the formulations of how he made all the organic materials, how we will witness how he created the planets and the creation of this universe. Those secrets that mankind can only hypothesize on right now will be ours and will be given freely to us. So, What are we to do now? Brethren, life is too good not to partake of God's good gifts. They are there, the beauty of God's nature, the laughter of children, the blowing of the wind through the trees. Step back. Step back and look to see what God has put in front of us. This morning, sitting outside for just a second, I could hear the birds singing, talking, having a good time. Every morning, that's there. What would Satan have us to focus in on? Our bills, money, what we need to get. Otherwise, our lives are just unfulfilled. You know, I got to have that boat, or I got to have that new car. Oh, my life's not. God, please give me all this stuff because I really, really need it. Truth is, you want it, but you don't really need it. Life is too good not to see the simple riches of spending time with your family in godly discussion. Turn the television off. Sit down and talk to one another. It is a blessing. Pull out the Bible on Friday night and talk to one another about what God has to say to you. You cannot know who God is unless you read this book. Do we sense the excitement that work is doing right now? And I watched some of the short stories, the short films that the church has posted on YouTube. And this work's moving forward, brethren. With you, hopefully, and not without you. Yes, the turn of events that's in our recent past has been disheartening. But you know what? God's work will always continue to move forward. It's a common thing when prayer brethren travel to Africa and the Philippines and other places, and they see our brethren over in those other countries with what we consider to be nothing. But you see them talking, laughing, happy. Why is that? Because they have one another. They have nothing else. Everything else has been removed from them. Is that what we have to come to? And we say, oh, those poor people. Oh, those poor people. They don't have nothing. They don't have a Game Boy to keep you distracted. They don't have that new iPod, that iPhone 2, to where I can just envelop, you know, just stay right here. I don't even have to look at anybody else. Hey, I'm on public transportation. Guess what? Nobody matters to me because I can watch my movie right here. I don't have to talk to that person. I don't have to socialize with anybody. Because me, I'm satisfied with what I've got. Satan has warped society's vision so much that we do not recognize true wealth. Turn with me over to Psalms chapter 86. True wealth being a deep relationship with God and what he has to teach us. Psalms 86 and verse 10. For you are great and do wondrous things. You are God alone. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and I will walk in the truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. I will praise you, O my Lord, O Lord my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify your name forevermore. True wealth, family, spending time and sharing stories, playing games, talking. Brethren, if our youth are going away, as in Proverbs it says, in chapter 22 and verse 6, train up a child the way that he should go and he will not depart from it. Now they have a burden once they become adults, but it is our part of life to let them know who God is. And the only way you can let them know who God is to take time and spend time with them searching the scriptures. Turn with me over to Hebrews chapter 11. Recognizing true wealth. That net, you're on the right side of the boat. You're pulling in these blessings. a greater understanding of what his promise holds. As it says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 39, speaking of all the patriarchs, and these having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. So many in today's society are striving towards riches. Nothing wrong with having things, but just don't make it the focal point of everything you do. We have to be rewarded right now. Understand, some of the greatest minds in the world cannot see the value of having a powerful relationship with God. Grasping what God is searching for, that's our job. As we heard in Pentecost, we are to produce fruit, brethren. If we're not producing fruit, you're cut off and thrown into the fire. Grasping for what God is really searching for is obedience to his perfect laws. Let's go over to John. John chapter 14. Brethren, we have the opportunity to be a part of God's plan, part of his salvation, to firmly understand the love and the guidance and the protection that he's offering to us. We have to delve into that and truly see it for what it's worth, and how that obedience to him and his laws by showing love towards one another. In John chapter 14, let's pick it up in verse 13. And whatsoever you ask in my name, I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Going back to John chapter 21, getting back to our fishing story. The fishing net that the disciples had was not a special net. I'm sure that net had been cast hundreds, if not thousands, of times before. And yet, they did not recognize his voice at first, but he told them to cast the net anyway. What made the catch special was the blessing that came from our Savior, and we have to recognize this simple fact. And yes, the catch was a great one, but the presence of the Savior was much more fulfilling than 153 fish. You saw their excitement. It's the Lord. Come on, let's get over there. Because that's who they really desired to be with. The fish were happenstance. Once they knew it was him. Another bullet point. God's presence in our lives prospers our existence. When we are far from God because of lack of study and prayer and fasting and meditation, our balance as to what matters most is filled with striving after wind, instead of striving together, as it mentions in Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. And I'll read this for you. Only let our conversation be as it cometh to the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you will stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. That's us, brethren. How many of us have knelt down on one hand? How many of us have lapped like a dog? How many of us have scooped water with our hand, as in the story of Gideon? This is a powerful work. This will be a powerful work. It will never stop. We understand that. Now, do you want to be a part of it? We know, as it says, let's go ahead and turn over there in James chapter 1. James chapter 1, beginning in verse 12. It said, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. James 1, verse 12. For when he is tried, he shall receive a crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love him. Verse 13, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempts he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then the lust conceives and brings forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. Do not err, brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Brethren, when he said, not one thing will change, not one jot or tittle, he meant it. Because the fact is that in his character, he is sound. And we are coming to him, not the other way around. He sticks his hand out towards us. He wants us to be there. But we have to come to him. When we see society and the constant striving for material wealth and fame and glory, and on it goes. The narcissism that permeates the entertainment world, and the greed that big business has caused itself to feed upon itself. Don't have enough? Let's just create something. Let's create falsehoods so we can get even richer. And a perfect reflection of this muddled outlook that Satan has pawned off on humanity as natural, quoting from the UCG booklet, The Church That Jesus Built, it says, our natural tendency is to deceive ourselves when we serve our own selfish interests. Jeremiah 17:9 points out that our heart, our basic human motivation and reasoning, is deceitful above all things, and it leads us to self-destruction. We need to recognize in ourselves this common characteristics of human nature and be willing to change it so God can transform us. We need a new way of thinking, a new heart, and a new mind. Our thinking must be changed by God's Spirit so that our interests will be focused outward, enabling us to love others as we love ourselves, commending the young evangelist Timothy's loving concern for others. Paul wrote to the Christians at Philippi, for I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state, for all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus. And that's quoting from Philippians chapter 2 and verse 20 and 21. That's not our mindset, brethren. This small flock, we have a powerful work to do. And we have to get down on our knees and continue to move forward and continue to cast our net over on the other side and look for those blessings that God has for us. When we're learning to cast our net on the other side, we must recognize Jesus Christ taught us one of the most valuable lessons is learning to believe and trust in him. And it's hard to do sometimes because, you know what, it requires patience. Turn with me over to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 5. In 2 Corinthians 5, let's pick it up in verse 4. For we that are in the tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he has wrought us for the same thing as God, who has also given us unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we always confident, knowing that while we are at home in this body, we are absent from the Lord. And focusing in on verse 7, it says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. I'm going to quote from Adam Clark's commentary in regards to this passage. And it says in verse 4, not for that we will be unclothed. We do not desire death, nor to die, even with the full prospect of eternal glory before our eyes, an hour before that time which God is in wisdom has assigned, but clothed upon, to have the fullest preparation for eternal glory. We wish not to die. Whatever tribulation we may be called to pass through till the whole will of God is accomplished in us and by us. That mortality that might be swallowed up in life. being fully prepared for the eternal state, we shall scarcely be said to die, all that is mortal being absorbed. We as human beings still desire the fish. But the lesson is, when our vision becomes obscured, God can provide for us the blessings that we need when we need it. Having faith, hope, enthusiasm. Got a couple of little campers back last night, and they were so excited. Talking to my wife up at camp, she was so excited. Tired, but excited. Said there was a different spirit up there this year. A spirit of cooperation, of oneness. Brethren, that's us. That's here right now. Let's move forward powerfully. Going back to our fish story in John 21, it says, when Peter jumped out of the boat, it's the Lord. He wanted to be there with him. So that we can have the vision that Jesus Christ gives us and see the things that are being taught by Christ. The lesson here was also to point out the disciples that they need not labor so much for the physical, but rather the spiritual meat. And you can write this scripture down in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 3. And did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Brethren, we have a high priest in place encouraging us, come on guys, you can make it. I'm here with you. I made the ultimate sacrifice for you to be with me. I love you. Not just in word, but in deed. If you'll notice, in getting back to John 21, he put them back on track. They were going fishing. They kind of lost sight of being fishers for men. And again, as I mentioned about Gideon, we got him. God has him right where he wants him. He got us right where he wants us. We have the exact number of people that we need for this time and this age, this day. Now that number will fluctuate based upon what you decide to do. But you got to understand, his plan will go forward. And we want to be a part of it. And he's telling us, get on board, brethren. Get on board. Don't treat the Sabbath slackingly. Let's do the things that we need to do to be a part of his kingdom. And as I mentioned, Zechariah 4 and verse 6, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, this work will be done. Growing in grace and knowledge is a benchmark that we must continue to add by studying God's word, staying humble that once we come to understand something, we just scratch the surface. That's why it's so important to read this book. So in conclusion, where are you casting your net? Are you firmly focused on the plan of salvation and your part in it? When we find ourselves laboring, are we seeking God's will or are we seeking our own will? Are we diligently pursuing God and the direction that he would have us to go? What do we think? How do we think? Do we think of God and his plan and his thought and his purpose before we decide which way to go? I'm going to quote once again Matthew Henry's concise commentary on John 21. Christ's time of making himself known to his people is when they are most at a loss. He knows the temporal wants of his people, and he has promised them not only grace sufficient, but food convenient. Divine providence extends itself to the things most minute. And those things are happy who acknowledge God in all their ways. Those who are humble, diligent, and patient through their labors shall be crowned. They sometimes live to see their affairs take a happy turn after many struggles. And there is nothing lost by observing Christ's orders. It is casting the net on the right side of the ship. Jesus manifests himself to the people by doing that for them which is none else can do. Nobody else can do what he does. And he's on your side. And the things which they look for, he would take care of those who left all for him, should not want for any good thing, and latter favors are to bring to mind former favors that are eaten, bread may not be forgotten. Listen to that voice crying out, brethren. Cast your net on the other side so that we truly can become fishers of men. Have a wonderful Sabbath.